Welcome to Journal Club for October 19th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In late October 1997, Atlanta, Georgia played host to a four-day conference, the 1997 International Conference on Network Protocols. At that event, a paper was presented by a three-person team from AT&T Research Laboratories, Lucent Technologies Bell Labs, and Fujitsu Laboratory of America. AT&T, or Ma Bell, had been broken up a decade before in antitrust proceedings, but these ostensibly now independent entities still collaborated on research. The paper they presented had all the hallmarks of a Bell Labs innovation, namely being decades ahead of its time. The paper was called A Cooperative Packet Recovery Protocol for Multicast Video, and in it they outlined a system in which packet loss between a sender and a receiver could be mitigated by a third-party server that steps in to replace packets as they're lost. Like so many inventions from the early days of the web, and so many inventions from Bell Labs especially, the innovation displayed wouldn't be truly appreciated until decades later, when the problem they were preemptively solving would become a true pain for modern network engineers. Now that video streaming and live TV are commonplace, and packet loss is a consistent problem across the board, researchers from Denmark, Pakistan, and Finland are revisiting this paper from 27 years ago. They're collaborating to formally specify the Cooperative Packet Recovery Protocol in modern terms, model it mathematically, and put it to the test. How exactly would this protocol look if implemented today? And would it work? Well, let's find out. A packet is a unit of data transmitted over a network, consisting of a payload and header information such as source and destination addresses. Packet loss occurs when one or more of the packets of data fail to reach their destination, often due to network congestion, faulty hardware, or signal interference. Packet loss directly affects quality of service, QoS, by degrading the reliability of data transmission, particularly for real-time applications like video streaming. Industry standards suggest that packet loss rates below 1% are acceptable for streaming video. Above that, and people start to notice, and it really affects how they perceive the quality of the application. If you're familiar with TCP, you've undoubtedly heard of the three-way handshake. To review, it's a SYN from the client, a SYN ACK from the server acknowledging the SYN and sending its own SYN, and then the ACK from the client finalizing the handshake and acknowledging the server's SYN ACK, right? So this paper revolves around another concept in this family called NACK. A NACK, N-A-C-K, is a negative acknowledgement. It is used to indicate that a packet was not received or was received with errors, prompting the sender to retransmit the missing or corrupted data. Unlike an ACK, which confirms successful receipt, a NACK signals a failure in transmission. The packet recovery scheme in this original paper involves four main players: the source, the client, the receiver, and the server. The source is responsible for broadcasting data packets to both the server and the client. It continuously sends packets in sequential order. The client receives these packets and stores them in its buffer. If it detects a missing packet based on the sequence numbers, so like if it has 1, 2, 3, it's missing 4, and it has 5, then the client sends a NACK, a negative acknowledgement, to the server to request the missing data. So if it has 1, 2, 3, and 5, it says, hey, I'm missing 4, and it says that to the server. The server also receives the same broadcast from the source and stores all the packets in its buffer. When it receives a NACK from the client, it retrieves the requested packet from its buffer and retransmits it to the client. The receiver is the end user component, relying on the client to forward the fully constructed data stream. The client only forwards data to the receivers once it has ensured that all the packets, including any retransmitted ones, are there and are in order. This structure ensures reliable packet delivery even when packets are lost during transmission. Because basically, if you're the client and you're listening to the source, if you can't understand something or you miss something from the source, you can turn to the server and go, what did he say? And the server will say, oh, he said this. In this paper, the 2024 paper, the authors wanted to model, simulate, and evaluate the packet recovery scheme, but they first had to define it. For that, they used UPPAAL. UPOL stands for Uppsala and Aalborg University's toolset for modeling, simulation, and verification of real-time systems. Broadly, it's a toolset used to model systems as timed automata and then verify their behavior through simulation and formal checking. In this paper, they used UPOL to create formal models of the protocol's components, simulate their interactions, and then verify whether the protocol met its functional requirements. The source specification within UPOL consisted of creating a model of the source process where it sends the packets via a broadcast channel. They used UPOL's graphical interface to draw automata, with states representing packet transmission phases and transitions triggered by conditions like buffer capacity and packet sequence. Code was used to define conditions that control packet transmission, such as a guard condition to stop sending when the client's buffer is full. The client specification consisted of modeling the client's reception of packets, identification of missing packets, and sending of NAC requests. This involved defining the automaton states for receiving packets, sending NACs, and transmitting packets to receivers. Functions were written in UPOL's modeling language to handle actions like updating buffers, sending NACs, and processing received packets. The transition between states were triggered by packet reception and the detection of missing sequence numbers. So in other words, the client specification was much more of an event-driven kind of architecture. The server specification consisted of drawing an automaton to model how the server responds to NACs by retrieving and sending lost packets to the clients. They specified conditions for when the server receives a NAC and added functions to simulate the storage and retrieval of packets from the server's buffers. Transitions between states occur when NAC requests arrive and are processed. So again, event-driven. The receiver specification, and again, the receivers are the end devices, consisted of a simpler model in which the receiver process is defined as receiving packets from the client. And that's pretty much it. The automaton had states representing waiting for and processing incoming packets, ensuring that packets were forwarded in sequence. The interactions between the client and the receiver were modeled through synchronization channels in UPOL, ensuring that the packet flows remain consistent. Once the entire system was modeled in UPOL, it was time to simulate it in MATLAB. UPOL's primary strength lies in verification and simulation of real-time systems, and it's limited in analyzing the system's performance under varied data loads and network conditions. To address this, the authors exported key findings from their UPOL models, such as timing constraints and packet recovery mechanisms, into MATLAB to simulate how the system performed under different scenarios. In MATLAB, they defined performance parameters including packet loss rate, inter-packet delay, buffer sizes for both the client and the server, and transmission data rate. These simulations focused on understanding how changes in network conditions would impact the packet recovery process, specifically the active part of the buffer, APB, during transmission. Here's what they found. Effect on IPD and APB. They found that the size of the APB, the active part of the buffer, decreases continuously over time due to inter-packet delays, particularly when data transmission and receiving rates are not synchronized. The buffer size needs to be properly managed to avoid packet overwriting or loss during recovery. Buffer size and data rate optimization. The buffer size and data rate needed careful tuning to maintain effective packet recovery. If the buffer was too small relative to the data rate, packets were lost before they could be recovered. Maximum tolerable packet loss rate. The simulation showed that the system could tolerate a packet loss rate of less than 1% while maintaining acceptable quality of service. Beyond this threshold, the system struggled to recover packets in time, leading to degraded performance, especially in real-time video transmission scenarios. Impact of network congestion. Simulating network congestion revealed that the packet recovery protocol was robust under moderate levels of congestion, but as congestion increased, recovery times also increased, leading to higher latency and the potential for dropped packets in the buffer before recovery. So what can we take away from this work? Well, those last two points about maximum tolerable packet loss rate and network congestion are really the critical ones here. To reiterate what those results mean, this system, when put under the load of a simulation, was able to regain some lost packets, but only when things were mostly fine anyway. When packet loss was severe enough that quality of service would be affected, so like greater than 1% packet loss rate, the system failed to meaningfully improve the situation. In other words, if your stream is mostly fine, this system could make it a little better than it already is. But if your stream is messed up, if that Zoom call is freezing or your live football match starts jumping from frame to frame, this would not help you. In effect, it does work, but only at the times you really don't need it to work. If we're looking for a silver bullet for packet loss, we're gonna need to keep looking. If you'd like to view the architecture diagrams of the system they created or read the actual formulas they used to model it, I'd recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.